This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 30th of June, 2022. It's the end of Q2 and market developments souring quite a bit overnight after a pretty sideways session yesterday, but looking pretty ugly this morning. There was a pretty decent-sized crude oil sell-off yesterday after it actually pumped to new highs. Part of that on some demand figures out of the U.S. that we'll get to later. Crypto is looking under pressure this morning. It just looks like everything is sort of high risk is under pressure, really. And it's interesting to see that we're seeing what has been a bit of a rarity for this cycle, we're seeing strength in the safe haven bond markets relative to equities. I think safe haven bond markets taking partially a lead from crude oil yesterday. That's my suspicion anyway. But we have the 10-year down at 3.06%, and it's a big trigger level, that 3% level flat. If we're continuing it through there, it really suggests to me people picking up the recession risks and looking for, hoping that inflation is about to come in. But we'll see. We've got an inflation data point from the U.S. today. But looking at the NASDAQ 100, so we pivoted quite strongly already, even before quarter end. We've talked about the importance of this quarter end. And on the candlesticks on the weekly, have a look at that candlestick on slide 2. That's the NASDAQ 100 future. A very ugly dark cloud formation if we were to close at the current levels, suggesting that we could be punching lower. And I'll be looking at that 200-week moving average you see there below 11,000 and the 61.8. A bit lower still. If on the cash, it's actually closer to 10,600. But Peter, you're pulling out and something that's a bit new here. It's not new, it's old, but it's new for this cycle. And I don't know if that's what's hitting the travel basket, but we have this, we have COVID concerns, and we're seeing this, even in our personal contacts, the spread of COVID here, concerns that COVID is about to have a yet another wave.
Yeah, we have had a tripling of new cases in a country like Italy in I think a month's time, and we've seen seen numbers galloping here in Denmark as well, and we're not testing in Europe as much as we did, so the shadow numbers are likely even more aggressive. And I've highlighted travel on slide 2, as you can see, so down 13% as of yesterday for the month to date. One of the worst performers as well year to date, the worst performer over a 5-year horizon. It's really taking a hit. I mean, traveling in Europe is just a mess on the airport side. The shortage of labor in airports for airliners. Airliners, of course, already now also being hit by personnel that is getting COVID. This could be a very, very, I think, in a worst case scenario, it could be a very ugly summer for the tourist season and the traveling season. And you just have to wonder what type of scars it's leaving on the consumer in terms of the customer experience of this. And, we can only guess. The only thing we can say for certain, when we look across flows, it's travel is right now a massive sell-off. We see it across airliners. We have SAS here in Scandinavia that is having some very crucial talks with their pilots and cabin personnel, which is supposed to be ended over by the weekend. Basically, that company, if they don't get a better cost reduction and agreement with their personnel, could potentially be in for a bankruptcy. You have other airliners in Europe that are really under pressure. I looked at the MSCI World Airliners Index. It's getting very close to the lows. On slide 3, you can see another part of the market, cruise lines. This is Carnival. So cruise lines in the early part of 2021 was the hot trade because we were on the other side of vaccines. We were rolling those out. We had a very muted COVID season over the summer period in 2021. There was some relief. Cruise lines were getting back online. And now we have this season, this summer season is going to be interrupted both in North America and Europe by a COVID wave. And look at Carnival's share price there. It's getting to the absolute lows from the early days of the pandemic. And it just smells that maybe the next big bang in the credit market is coming from the travel industry. That's at least how I see it. And then we have to talk about a news that just came out a few minutes before we went into the podcast. So Uniper is down more than 15%. It's a German utility company that is falling off a cliff. If you pull the share price up on your Saxo Trader or wherever you have a price system, It's just massive how much it has fallen. It's one of the biggest casualties right now of the gas shortage in Europe. And Germany's recent cut to gas deliveries is forcing this company, this utility company, to go into the spot market and buy at spot price instead of at the agreed forward prices that they had contracts with Gazprom for. And basically, they're now talking about a bailout. So we talk about what are the potential casualties for the gas crisis we are heading into in Europe. Well, certainly utility companies, we're already seeing that in the UK. Now we're seeing it in Germany and other parts. So maybe a partial nationalization of the entire utility sector in Europe is on the table now. And we, if we look at industrial companies like Siemens or chemical companies like BASF in Germany, they've also been hammered quite substantially over the past 3 weeks. So this is definitely something to watch. And Ole, I hope you have some good news for us on gas, because otherwise it will get more and more painful.
Well, apart from the great drop in grain prices, but I don't really have I've had any good news for a long, long time. And unfortunately, gas is the one that continues to give bad news, especially for consumers here in Europe, as you also just highlighted there. Just looked at that unit, oh boy, at 42 euros back in December, now down to 13 and a half. A company that's supposed to be relatively boring, and most certainly not. And the reason why it is so tough right now is the continued rise in gas prices. On slide 7, we're jumping a little bit around the deck here, but I just put in the first month of gas price. We are approaching 150 euros per megawatt as we speak. I just put in the line that the kind of price that these utilities have been used to for the past 5 years, in a period from 16 to 20. Back then, we were trading at an average of just around 15 euros. So we are talking about a factor 10 above the long-term average. This is pulling teeth out, and it's starting to, we are already into demand destruction territory. Gas flows to Europe. Our gas inventories are rising, but part of that story is basically that the demand in Europe is falling, has fallen quite dramatically over the past 3 to 6 months. I saw some stats from Morgan Stanley yesterday that talk about a drop of 17% in gas demand, and it is due to the Russia basically having turned off the tap towards Germany. You can see the flows there in the top right corner. Now it's just dropped to something like 70% below where we were a year ago, and the main victim right now is most certainly Germany, because they are not receiving the flows they used to through the Nord Stream pipeline. So we have a summer of horrible high prices, and looking into next winter and even the one after that, market is pricing in very punitively prices for the next winter as well.
It's interesting to see at some point the rationing that has to happen to get the gas, what gas there is available to those that need it the most. All right, I'm not sure where to pick up the thread here, but one thing we should look at, of course, with risk appetite rolling over again, is something like our risk indicator. And it's still, but it is quite negative. It has been quite negative for some time. It is trending lower. The direction is quite interesting here. You can see on slide 4, the global indicator on the right. One thing that's held it back quite strongly is the fact that the VIX just is in a very new regime. And I'm hoping we're going to have more of a conversation around that. Peter, you brought up some interesting points on that front in the internal meeting this morning, VIX not behaving as it has in previous market down cycles. But one thing that is picking up to new highs locally and for the cycle is the corporate credit spread situation. You can see on the left, it said Bloomberg, high yield option adjusted spread indicator above 500 basis points and actually all the way to 550 basis points essentially now. That is the highest save, if you take out the pandemic spike since back in 15 and 16, when that was mostly about a lot of energy-related companies dealing with the collapse in oil prices at that time. So this is getting to, we're starting to flash a pretty intense orange on this indicator. And it's not like the Fed is about to back off. So it's interesting to see if we're going to get a credit cycle here. Peter, your thoughts before I go to some FX thoughts on that volatility discussion we had in the internal meeting.
Yeah, it's when you said it, I was like, damn, why didn't I put it into the slide deck? It's a little bit technical maybe for a podcast slide deck, but I can really recommend you, self-flattering here, read my note from yesterday on analysis.saxo. I've called it an unusual drawdown is the perfect ending to an unusual bull market. And what I mean about that, we have talked a little bit about it in previous notes on when we talked about drawdowns, also you and I, John. But it's basically, if you look at the past 2 years, the we have had very little inversion of the VIX curve on any sell-off. And if you look at the current drawdown and the sell-off, and we have had some pretty dramatic days here and there, we've been down more than 20% in the S&P 500, but the level of inversion in the VIX forward curve, so in other words, how much the VIX index, the spot itself, has risen relative to, let's say, the number two or the second or the third contract on the VIX futures, has been very mild. And that's very unusual. We have talked about it before. It has been a very calm and orderly sell-off. And I have two other charts. It's very difficult to talk about, but where you can see how strange the VIX is behaving relative to the drawdown, but also the actual volatility in daily returns. And I'm referring to a piece because and Sting Jacobson, now chief investment officer, was at a volatility conference, and they were talking about this as well. JP Morgan has been out saying that there are potential two causes for why we're seeing this structural change in the volatility of the options markets. And it's one thing is that investors over the past 2 years have gradually moved away from buying outright put protection to buying spreads, and that's changing the gamma dynamic. So you don't have that same gamma dynamic that we have had in previous downturns and down cycles, because you have basically a better balanced books from the market maker perspective. And then the other thing is that they can see in their data, JP Morgan, that there are more intraday momentum strategies being deployed in the market over the past 2 years, and that's also have changed the intraday volatility and dynamics of the market. Very technical, but it just speaks that this cycle is very, very different, and as a result of that, we should all be humble and cautious about it, because it's very different. There are no parallels to what we're experiencing, I think, right now.
Yeah, and it certainly just feels very different from past cycles. So just the day to day, as you said, and the price action. All right, let's go a little bit over to a different area, the FX area. We have Euro Swiss, by the way, a remarkable move here. We're trading below parity, and we actually touched below those levels, that spike that we saw after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The recent weekly sight deposits data from the Swiss National Bank is showing that sight deposits are actually shrinking, so there's certainly no SNB intervention going on here to indicate that they're fighting the move. Of course, by them having hiked the 50 basis points at the June meeting, they were indicating they were willing to front run ECB hikes, I think, as an expression of concern for the euro and the incoherence of this anti-fragmentation attempt by the ECB at a time when they're overall trying to tighten policy. You have the euro dollar as well trading pretty heavy. We got down below the pivotal sort of 105 area tactically that we've been trading near or that was sort of supporting the market for the last week or so. And that only leaves the 103.50 low, slightly below which is the 2017 low. And then we would be at the lowest euro dollar level since 2003, the very beginning of that year. So euro heavy. One place it's not heavy, though, is versus the Swedish krona, which ironically, even though the Swedish central bank has lifted off as well and is set to hike 50 basis points or is set for a 50 basis point hike as well and lifting off more aggressively. We see that's coming in this morning. And actually, as I'm speaking here, is the actual announcement this very minute. That's the overwhelming majority looking for that. But the Swedish krona is not getting any support from this massive shift in guidance to the upside in Swedish rates from the Riksbank, because A, it is very geared, the Swedish krona, to the economic outlook for exports, sort of as a growth multiplier back into the Swedish economy with the concerns for the outlook. The Swedish krona doesn't do well on that account. And then as a function of simply risk sentiment. Swedish krona is less liquid currency and performs poorly when you're in a bear market for risk assets. So at the same time, they're buying credibility on inflation by moving in this direction and tightening policy. It'd be interesting to see what they say and what actually happens to the Swedish housing market, as this is a very bubbly housing market for many years in Sweden. So Euro Stoxx trading towards the upper part of the range there. Let's see what happens in the sort of 970 plus area going into tomorrow. And then pulling out as well, the yen direction, we tried new highs since 1998 in dollar yen yesterday. Those pulling back, less pressure on the yen when these yields are falling, but we have to watch that situation closely as well. And then yesterday, sort of a new fundamental bend on things with the crude oil price, because it looked to me like that reaction yesterday to there was a delay in the release of the weekly figures out of the US. So they released 2 weeks worth of data on this, on the inventories. But what's interesting is they also released these implied demand figures for gasoline. And there's a little chart here on slide 6 showing where we are this year in terms of demand. relative to 2021 and 2019, which you can take as sort of the baseline year. And there was some pretty, to say the least, pretty weak demand figures relative to this recent experience. That is a six-week rolling average, by the way, should be emphasized.
Yeah, exactly. And normally the market looks at the four-week, which is obviously showing an even bigger divergence between the seasonal norm. But you're absolutely right. That was the key takeaway from yesterday's report, which that aside was still one, I would say, support one that could be supported because crude oil stocks continue to decline, even though we see this 1 million barrel injection almost on a daily basis from strategic reserves. But what the market's been looking for is response to these higher prices from the consumer. And if we are seeing this continue over the coming weeks, then obviously U.S. consumers, being the biggest gasoline-consuming nation of the world, that will start to that potentially could have a soothing impact on an otherwise very tight market. We saw that also in the so-called crack spreads yesterday. The gasoline crack margin was started to come down quite a bit. We've seen that both in, especially in Euros, US, but to a lesser point degree in Europe, but at least it is what the market needs in order to get a bit more balance into the market. I haven't even mentioned OPEC Plus in the headline because it doesn't really matter. OPEC is irrelevant right now, just simply from the fact that they are producing at max speed. They are 2.7 million barrels behind their own targets, basically because a lot of producers are struggling to increase production relative to where they produced before the pandemic struck back in 2020, and that is what is continues to support the market. So we are in for a range bound month here in the crude oil market between this 100 and 120 level on Brent.
All right, and then you're noting as we are drawing into the end of the month that this has been a pretty interesting month performance-wise for commodities.
Yeah, on slide 8, just a highlight of the month of June. It's been the first monthly decline since last November. Obviously, that had to happen sooner or later. It happened this month. And as you can see, it's the industrial metal space that has, from a sector perspective, that has been the biggest losers. And it is due to the fact that we have seen these recessionary worries start to emerge, but especially also the fact that the lockdowns in China has been lasting for much longer than probably the market anticipated. There was some signs of relief back in May, and that has been quelled this month. So that's why the industrial metals are under pressure. And also just to mention, and we talked about this yesterday, the grain market, the biggest losers in the grain market this past month has been the two sectors that rallied the most when Russia invaded Ukraine. That's wheat and edible oils. Today, we look ahead to the, as I mentioned yesterday, the stock and acreage report from the USDA. I just put in the table of expectations once again for your information, but that number is out later in the day.
All right. Now on stocks to watch today, Peter, you've talked a bit about Micron. You put up a chart here on slide 10, a company that makes, is, if I'm not mistaken, the RAM, so the memory chips for computers.
Yeah, exactly, John. And maybe before we talk about Micron technology, you should probably just quickly gloss over General Mills, because we talked about them yesterday and they reported they actually reported a pretty surprisingly strong earnings per share that was almost 20% better than in the analyst estimates. Organic growth outlook was put out at 4 to 5% versus 3.7 by the market. So General Mills, with their different brands, are actually able to pass on a lot of cost to retailers and the consumers. So good days for General Mills. Very strong report there. That could give a little bit of fuel for the upside for that company for some time ahead. Today, Micron Technology, as you say, and Walgreens. Walgreens is expected to see a decline in top line of 6% from a year ago. They are part of the retail space. They're getting pressured. It's very difficult for retailers. They're just middlemen, so they have very little bargain power in this current environment. Micron Technology, as you correctly say, they produce a lot of memory chips, both for consumer electronics, but also for the enterprise market, data centers, what have you. And the enterprise market is expected to be strong. Micron Technology overall is expected to deliver 16% year-over-year top line growth, and actually a 33% increase in their earnings per share. So still very strong metrics there for the semiconductor industry, although a lot of the stocks recently have been selling off as the outlook has come down. And I think the key risks for the outlook for Micron Technology is that if this very weak consumer confidence we're seeing, if that's beginning to hit consumer electronics. I think we are seeing a little bit of signs of that across the different companies like Samsung, Apple, etc., that consumer electronics is not as strong as it was just 1 year ago.
All right. And then on the macro calendar today, the big one for the market is the May PCE inflation indicator, that core year-on-year number expected at 4.8% versus the 4.9% the previous month. The market might get a bit spooked if this core number is above the expectations. It was, after all, the May official CPI number that really helped to spook the market back in early June. So it's a bit of a tardy data point. It's kind of hard to know what to do with it when you've got more leading things like the oil price giving you more information at the forward end of what's going on here. But nonetheless, it's an important data point, and we'll watch for that one in the beginning or just before the U.S. session. Together with the weekly jobless claims, we've seen these elevated over the last 3 weeks or so. Relative to, I think the one 3 weeks ago was the highest since January. So watching that for, again, for the trend of that indicator on whether the market is softening up in the U.S. And then the final regional manufacturing PMI out of the U.S., the Chicago PMI, which was oddly strong last month. Do we see a bit of mean reversion and moving in the same direction as most of the other PMIs this month, which were quite negative, especially the one, I believe, was the Richmond yesterday. Oldest USDA acreage report there, and the OPEC Plus meeting, which, as far as I understand, is a rubber stamp meeting for a non-existent supply increase. Is that correct?
Exactly. Okay. That's why I said it wasn't important at this point. Obviously, just a highlight. It is the final part of this two-year period where they've been hiking, putting production back that they took out of the market just after the pandemic. So obviously that leaves the market open to speculation what will happen next. But again, with spare capacity only kept by maintained by a few producers, we don't really expect any fireworks.
All right. That leaves us with tomorrow's Eurozone and Poland CPI data and the ISM manufacturing out of the U.S. And just in general, the very negative energy we're getting into the market here. So stay careful out there. We'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.